Check this out. This is Ice T.
Chris Harrison here, host of The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Hi, it's Brett Favre.
It's me, you got Shen, Jeff, Lasse, what?
Charlie Sheen here.
It's me, Raven Simone.
Real life Peter Griffin here.
This is your boy, D Howard.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg.
It's your girl, Nene Leakes, honey.
This is Flavor Flav.
Representing on this new situation called Cameo.
Another episode, another glorious day. Man, I'm happy. It's the Cameo Handshake. You've got Southside Jake. Special hello to my partner who's not here, Kyle Singles. Shout out him. Today's guest, man, I'm excited about it. TV star, multiple times over, accomplished football player, advocate in the philanthropic world that we'll dive into, and arguably a name that makes me think he should just be singing country music full time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Colton Underwood.
Thank you.
We don't have tracks yet for that stuff. Colton, what's up? Welcome, sir. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm good, man. I need you to follow me around and just do that everywhere I go.
That's the plan. I can gladly do that. Your name does certainly ring country music star.
It's very, very close to already an established country star.
Yes, right,
star.
Which
so
is why
I think
it.
That's why it does
and
it.
And Colton just in general just says, like, I'm a Midwestern boy. Like,
Yep.
And you are a Midwestern boy, right?
I am, Illinois boy.
What is it, Washington, Illinois?
Washington, Illinois. Farm towns.
And then here you are. We're doing this one in L.A., which I believe, not to put you on blast, you're out here full-time nowadays, right?
I am, yeah.
So quite a difference from Washington, Illinois to L.A. How's the transition? How you holding up?
Man, I was actually just back in Washington. I even sit there with friends and family. Like, I don't know how I ended up in L.A. I like it. Don't get me wrong, but it's like literally polar opposites. I go from hanging out with horses and chickens and goats one day to doing podcasts out in L.A. So
do you have a preference?
I think it's just about balance. I feel like that's about everything in my life. It's just like making sure that I don't sort of just get dependent on one thing or another. I really like trying new things. I'm pretty adventurous too. So, I mean, I'm down to try whatever at least once.
Yeah, it's good to have balance. We're like a Chicago-based company. I'm admittedly like most of my time spent in Chicago with a little sprinkled in of LA.
You got the accent.
Yeah, I get a little bit.
Caskets on me too. Like even the first time I was like, Chicago. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, every once in a while it comes out.
I'm so happy we're a Chicago-based company and I can get away with being like the quote-unquote Chicago guy.
Yeah,
and it's not like, wait a minute, who just said Sassage on the Cameo podcast?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was me.
But you said Southside, right?
Southside. Like
okay.
Deep Southwest side my whole life.
Yeah, so my grandpa's in Mokena, which is New Lenox area.
Yeah, I spent a little time. I dated a girl forever out that way, and we lived in New Lenox for quite a while.
So you Sox?
I'm Sox.
Yep.
Podcast is about you. Weird story. My uncle is a pitching coach in Major League Baseball, and he was the pitching coach for the Cubs last season. His name's Jim Hickey, and my brother works in the Cubs front office.
Uh-oh.
So I have to be Sox because I'm born and raised, but like the Cubs kind of like pay the bills. So I'm caught in like a weird
conundrum. Okay, I like the Sox, but the Cubs have been good to me. Like they had me out for my nonprofit, which we can get into later, but they had me out for my nonprofit to present a young boy named Jacob, his Aflo vest out in Arizona for their spring training.
Yep.
And then they had me out to the games. They've been good. They're an awesome organization.
I always got to say, you almost got to like root for who pays the bills.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Just as a saying. So like love my White Sox all day, but like, you know, that's some epic stuff that the Cubs are doing. Are you doing any like Dodgers or Angels now that you're in L.A.?
You know, the Dodgers program, I think I did something with Clayton Kershaw. He had his ping pong and his foundation out here. I've done stuff with them. I haven't done anything with the organization, though.
Yeah, nice. Well, let's just talk charity since we're kind of going down that path. You've got, like, a huge thing going on. Cystic fibrosis is the center of attention about just, like, research and funding and figuring that out. Tell me about that.
Man, so starting that has honestly been life-changing for me, and I sort of did it by accident. And it's so funny, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they wrote a little blurb on it, and the title of it was, I accidentally raised $50,000. I mean, that's literally what happened for me, is I loved football. I played on the practice squad for 3 years, two with the Chargers, one with the Raiders, and 2 weeks with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Counts. Shout out to Chip Kelly.
More than
me. Shout out Chip.
Yeah, shout out Chip for having me out there. But you know what? I had such a blast playing football that I wanted to make sure I always gave back. And in the offseason, I hosted a youth football camp for free for all the kids in my town.
Oh, dope.
And so 400 kids came out, and a hospital jumped on board. All the local businesses chipped in, and before you knew it, we had $50,000. And, you know, I wanted to allocate that to cystic fibrosis because my little cousin was born with it.
Got
so
it.
I now had this money to go donate in a way. And I really just wanted to make sure I did something different versus just, you know, handing it off to, you know, someone to say they're putting it towards the research. And, you know, so there was something uneasy, not that I don't trust them, but like I didn't want them to give it to a CEO
you
or CMO.
See where it's going, so, see some tangible results.
So I decided to actually buy aerodynamic bikes for the local children's hospital and support different aspects that I actually can see. And I found sort of this thing that was missing in the community, and that's the support for the families and the clinics and the people living with CF.
Yeah.
So that's why I opened up my own. It was called Colton Underwood Legacy Foundation. I like to just call it Legacy Foundation. I don't really need my name in it. The truth behind that, and I don't think I've ever said this, but I couldn't get just Legacy Foundation. It was already taken.
Oh, so like copyrights or whatever. Yeah.
So I was like, screw it. I'll put my name in the front, and I'll never call it Colton Underwood. I'll just call it Legacy Foundation.
That's what
I'll make
they
it
all
bigger.
Say. A rumor was it was the opposite. You were like, hey, we got to get Colton on there,
we
man.
Just got to make it.
No, that's
me.
Really cool. That's awesome. No. Hey, good way around the copyright or whatever it's called.
Exactly.
Though, you know?
So, but anyway, it's been life-changing. Right now, we actually have a really cool fundraiser going on. I have a custom built Jeep for me,
and this
dealership out in Colorado, Groove Auto, they built this Jeep and put on all these aftermarkets, custom white paint job, custom white rims, a brand new exhaust. Like it's pretty sick. And they built me two, and they built me one to auction and raffle away.
Yes.
So I'm selling raffle tickets online right now.
Where can they find it? Where do we go?
WinColtonsJeep.com.
WinColtonsJeep.com.
So literally, it's just the toy. They made two of these, the exact Jeeps.
When
so,
are they pulling it or whatever? Like, when's the Jeep coming out?
It's as soon as all the tickets get sold. We have 7,500 of them to sell.
Oh, nice. Is it like a new Jeep, like a Wrangler? Is it like a
it's
vintage?
A Wrangler
like,
four-door. Yeah. It's a Wrangler four-door, all tricked out, and it's pretty cool. And that's been like, I think for me too, it's just fun trying to find new ways to fundraise. I mean, asking for people's money is hard. It's one of the hardest things. You're selling a good feeling. So I want to make it fun. I want them to get something for it.
Yeah, that's the best kind. So like anytime you can do whatever fun thing is, whether it's like a benefit concert or the Jeep thing or whatever, like something like, oh, let's all have a good time and have a chance at something and then do it for a good cause.
Yeah. So that's sort of what we're doing right now. And I'm still doing 50 vests in 50 states. So I travel to all 50 states and I donate medical equipment, which is valued at about $20,000 to a CFer, anywhere from kids to adults that either get denied insurance or they just don't have the means to get the vest.
Sure.
I donate one of those in every state.
And at the risk of being uneducated, the vest itself, like what does it actually do? Like, I know cystic fibrosis is a lung disease, et cetera. I know about it, but like what's the vest do?
It shakes up the mucus and breaks up the mucus in their lungs. So basically what CF does is it affects, yes, the respiratory system, but also the digestive system. And the reason they get so sick is because their mucus is so thick that it actually holds bacteria and like literally a common cold can hospitalize them. So these vests either have them cough it up or swallow the mucus.
It's an external vest that they actually wear?
Yeah.
Like it just vibrates
just
the system
vibrates.
Or whatever?
Yeah. And
that's
most vests you have to be plugged into a wall. This vest that I am donating and giving them, the AFLA vest, is a portable battery that you charge it and it has three treatments in it per charge. And It's sort of in a weird way a luxury vest, which is really nice for not only the kids that have to do it or the adults that do it, but the parents as well.
Well, yeah, that's so cool. And the fact you're physically going and delivering these things.
And that's what I found was easier with the nonprofit. Instead of me handling all this money, I want to partner with these corporations, partner with people who actually make money off of people living with cystic fibrosis and have them give back as well. So AFLOVEST has donated me 50 vests, which is valued at about $1.2 million. So it's great. I would rather not touch any money and just let, you know, sort of use my connections to help out the families.
Be the conduit that can make it go.
Right.
And then you get to physically see the people and shake the hands and do the whole thing like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, people always forget about the families. Like I've done some work with like Ronald McDonald House and like same thing. Like, well, hey, yeah, this kid is sick and that's horrible and that's the focus. But like mom and dad got to like go to work and figure stuff out and like get this kid to their treatments or whatever. Like the families are a lot of times the lost part of the whole. Like,
yeah,
you know.
And that's the thing. The mom and dads are so happy too because, you know, now they can, if they're running late, instead of sacrificing a treatment for their son or daughter, they can throw the vest on, put them in the car, and do it on the way to school.
That's so
awesome.
You
know, so it's a pretty cool thing.
Well, beautiful. Yeah. I'm proud of you for that, man. That's really cool. A lot of people, like, you don't know, but, you know, you get a certain stature, and especially, you know, if it's relatively new or comes on a little bit quickly, that maybe you go the other way and you just, you know, go diva mode or whatever. And it sounds like you're doing the exact opposite of that.
No,
so kudos to you, good sir.
Appreciate
That's
it.
That Washington, Illinois upbringing. Speaking of which, I got to touch on it. Illinois State University. Redbirds. Yeah. We're a Chicago-based company. I think some of our staff are birds, as I like to call them.
Yep.
How was Illinois State? Give me one little Illinois State tidbit. How'd you wind up there? How was that?
Man, well, I ended up there committing my junior year of high school to play football, and I'm glad I did. I had a really good time. I didn't really have your typical college experience, so I was so focused and dialed in on football.
Right.
That, I mean, man, I remember sleeping through house parties. I remember... really just, you know, hanging out with the football team.
Right.
And I don't regret it at all. An amazing school. I got my business degree from there. Only took me 8 years because I left early for football. But you know what? An awesome university. Bloomington Normal is great and just good people.
Have you had the cheese curds at the pub too?
Of course. I wasn't just going to say that. If there's one advice that I give anybody is go to the pub too, have their cheese curds. It'll change your life.
Shout out the pub too.
Yeah.
Shout out State Farm Jake and his khakis hanging.
I was like, not to be too big headed, but I would. It would be an honor to have my jersey next to Jake's State Farm.
I'm sure it'll happen. We can make a call or two and probably make that happen. That's something that needs to be happening because you're ginormous now. And I mean, not that you weren't. So you play ISU and then football is the focus, right? Like, hard to go to the NFL from ISU, though, respectfully. Like, that's quite an accomplishment in itself. How did that happen?
I mean, their program's getting to a point now where they're sending people on a consistent basis. But, you know, I think it was just... For me, the reason I committed is because I knew that I was probably going to play as a freshman, and I wanted that playing experience. I didn't want a redshirt for 2 years.
And
I didn't want to practice just for 2 years. And I turned down some bigger offers, whether it was to Ball State, Toledo, Northern Illinois, and then even Wisconsin came in at the very last minute.
Oh, nice.
And I turned those down just because, one, Illinois State was 45 minutes away from home.
Right.
My family could come watch me play, and... you know, Coach Spack was just getting there and really getting his program started. So I was excited for that. And then I think my junior year really became a possibility. Like, I really saw it happening of where agents were starting to hit my dad up, like being like, hey, he could get drafted here. Like, let's really, like, see what, you know, what can happen. And sure enough, you know, I didn't get drafted, but I went as an undrafted free agent to the Chargers. Played pretty well in my preseason. I would have probably made the team if it wasn't for Marsh. You know, he locked me up on all the special teams.
Yes.
But you know what? I had a good time. And it just, the game sort of changes once you get to that professional level, too. I mean, everybody's a stud.
One of my buds, his name's Bart Miller. He's the biggest man that, like, I know. Just a huge dude. He's like 6'5", whatever. But he played in New Mexico. And he went to the Packers, same thing, like practice squad. And he was like, I was the smallest guy there by far, like not even close. And I was like, well, you're the biggest dude that I know. So, like, there's something for you.
Yeah. No, like, that's what people don't understand. And, I mean, even me, like, at first I was a little intimidated by, like, the Gators and the Alabama people who you're practicing against on a daily basis. But, I mean, like, shoot, Dunlap, one of our tackles, was, like, all of, you know, 6'8", 340 pounds. Like, I'm like, this man is a brick house, and I got to go up against him every day, you know? So it's crazy.
It's surreal. So what are you thinking, like, at that point, though? Like, are you like, this is my destiny, I'm supposed to be here, or are you kind of like, pinch me, holy shoot, what the hell's going on here? or happy medium, perhaps?
Yeah, no, I remember showing up the first day, the first week was all a blur, but... I remember this moment where Dwight Freeney was like my childhood idol. I was born in Indianapolis. So when he was with the Colts, like, I grew up watching Freeney off the edge and I loved it. And I sort of like idolized him for my career. Him and Michael Strahan were my two idols. And I get there and I'm walking to the hotel, the team hotel. I didn't have a car out there yet because it was like 2 weeks in, and he pulled over to the side and picked me up. And I played it really cool. I was like, yeah, like, appreciate the ride. And I just remember getting to the hotel room and I called my dad and I was like, dude, Freeney. It was my fanboy moment.
Yeah, I love those moments.
But no, it was cool. So I tried to play it cool. But, you know, I think at some point you have to enjoy it too. You have to look around and be like, holy hell, I finally made it here, you know?
Yeah, well, it toggles back and forth. Like, we're here to do a job. Let's win. Let's do our thing. And then you look up and you're like, oh, well. yeah. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I had a little fanboy moment the other day. We were lucky enough to have Brian Scalabrine on the podcast,
okay.
NBA yeah. player, the White Mamba. And I was basketball guy. And, you know, same thing. I ended up giving him a ride after the podcast, whatever. But it was just me and him, whatever, just dudes riding. But we were like bumping to rap music. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, Mamba's in the old dented up Taurus right now. Yeah. You know, like, this is kind of sweet,
it's,
you know?
It's crazy because you look around and you're like, how the hell did I get here? Like, that's sort of what happened to me with Bachelor, too. I'm like, I went from playing football and then now I'm standing on this driveway waiting for a limo to pull up. It's crazy how life comes at you pretty fast.
Well, that's obviously where I was going to take it next, you know, building it up. Like, you know, first, you know, I'm ISU, and it sounds like it's good to know that you had a better idea that football might be a real life thing. But, you know, football and The Bachelor, at least to me, seem like worlds that should have nothing to do with one another.
Yeah.
How the hell,
I don't know,
did you get on The Bachelor?
I was never really like, I was never really your stereotypical football player anyway.
Right.
I just sort of played it and I was good at it, but like I didn't really I fit in and I had friends in the locker room, but we didn't have the same lifestyles.
Right.
I didn't go out at all.
You were just like in college, just zoned in and doing your thing.
I just zoned in. I came in, punched a clock every day and did my thing and left. But I think I was sort of at like a weird point in my life where I was just getting out of a relationship and I was sort of lost and not having football anymore. I was like, well, what next? Like, what am I supposed to do now? I don't, you know, I can't just go put pads on and go try to play again. I had an injury with the Raiders that finally I treated it as a godsend. I was like, this is God's way of telling me you're done, dude.
Blessing
like,
in disguise.
Let's get you out. Because I was struggling with it anyway. I was spinning my wheels. And I had obviously watched the show before and I saw my brother just moved to downtown Denver and I'm walking down the street and I see an open casting call for Bachelor. So that means all the girls were there to do their applications. And
so
I walked in.
Let me get a coffee near this.
Yeah, well, I walked in. It was at the Hard Rock Cafe. So I walked in and I was like, hey, like, do you guys like interview guys too? Like, what's the deal here? And before you knew it, I was up in one of the rooms sitting down in front of a camera with a guy asking me questions.
See, that's it was. If anyone ends up listening to this podcast regularly, they're going to be tired of me saying this. There's always a twist. And all these people are talking to stories where they like walked into an audition and then they got the camera in your face. Or like, oh, what happened? I went to get a coffee and then it turns out I was hired as MTV's new VJ. Like, what? That's not how life works. You don't just walk to the Hard Rock Cafe and then get an audition and then make it.
Well, so, I mean, that's honestly what happened. I just followed the steps that they gave me after it.
Yeah, right.
I just followed up. I'm a very, like, the thing
you
that
seem
I always
thorough.
Say. Yeah, so. My, like, I think football, in the weirdest way possible, out here in the entertainment industry, whatever you want to call it, I mean, I'm going now into hosting and TV anyway.
Right.
It's all about relationships, and it's all about following up, putting the work in, and actually, like, getting things done on a timely manner. So the fact that they would email me, and within, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes, I never let a full day go by, I would always have whatever they asked back to them. You know, whether it was a questionnaire. They had me do a selfie video thing of like talking through three or four questions.
Yes.
I did that. I sent that back. And then all of a sudden it just went dark. Like they were like, thank you. And then I never got another email for 3 or 4 months. I guess they were obviously had the show going on.
Right.
And then they were like, hey, you made it to finals. Like we're going to fly you out to LA and we're going to talk to you. And then that's what happened. And then before you knew it, they're like, hey, here's your packing list. Congrats, you made it on.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And that's on, that's like, this is the first shot. That's contestant mode.
That was,
like,
so that was for Becca's season of The Bachelor.
So then you get there and like, same question about the football. Is it like surreal? Is it pinch me? Is it like I belong? What's going through your head now?
Yeah. So once I found out I was on, I didn't obsess over it, but I game planned. Like I was like, I went into football mode. I was just like, all right. Got to do my homework. Got to figure out what's going on. It actually ended up getting me in trouble. If I don't know if you guys even watched my season, but like, I even went as far as like, I reached out to one of the girls who I thought was going to be Bachelorette, and I was like, hey, like, you know,
we heard rumors.
So I was like, listen, if you want to grab a coffee, like, I'll get to know you before all the cameras. I tried to keep it as like
casual
as possible. But anyway, to get to the point where I basically tried to game plan. You can't game plan for this show like that at all. They ended up knowing more about me than I probably even knew about myself by the time I got into that house. And it was overall probably one of the best things that I could have ever done for myself just because I was struggling with who I was and like sort of ashamed, sort of shy, sort of timid. And it was, you know, it was
Well, you're coming in like age-wise, number one, and then two, just like post-football life, like who am I going to be now?
Right.
Like a lot of athletes especially, like that's kind of your identity. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm a football player, yep. You know? So then you've got to figure out like, oh, who am I as a human, you know? So yeah. It sounds like that's a good time to do that.
Yeah.
How are the other guys in the house? Was it like, is it competitive or is it kind of chill behind the scenes? Like, what's it like behind the scenes? Like, we all see the screen, but like, what's going on after?
I had some cool guys. I mean, obviously there's some of them where you look and you're like, yeah, this dude's here for TV or right. like this dude's here for something else. But I mean, I had Clay,
yeah.
Who was a ball player too, actually played at Missouri State. So him and I had the Midwest thing and football thing, hit it off right away. Jason, Garrett, and Blake were sort of my boys from the start.
Yep.
And, they all obviously have gone on a couple of the shows. Or not Jason. Jason found, you know, his person. But it's been
thing,
they
yeah.
were cool. The bottom line is, like, the guys were actually really cool. I remember walking in and just sort of being like, holy, I didn't know what to expect. And I walk into a room and I'm like, there's some good-looking dudes here. Like, I didn't yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously I wasn't, like,
no.
going to show up and be like, yo, I'm the best here.
But you're kind of like, also like NFL stud dude rolling in, though, a little
here
bit.
Here's my problem. And being an athlete and coming from an athletic background is, even when I stepped on the field, I always had that ego about
sure.
me. Like, I feel like every athlete, no matter what or who you are, when you step on the field, when you step on the court, you tell yourself you're the best.
You have to.
You have to. And like, that's a mindset. So like, for me, I'm still struggling with this because it's in the public, and I sometimes run my mouth when I shouldn't, but like
right.
that's the athlete in me. I think that I tried to do that there too. I sort of had this game plan of being like, okay, like I got this. Like I'm trying to pump myself up and pat myself on the back.
Yeah, of course.
And then like I said, everything goes out the window once you get in there.
Well, that's just like sports, though, right? What's
right.
the Mike Tyson line? Everyone's got a game plan until you get hit in the mouth.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? So same like The Bachelor. Everyone's got a game plan until
yeah.
you get denied a rose
yeah.
or whatever
yeah,
the hell.
Right, right. So it was so cool, though, man. It ended up that show turned into a paradise.
Right, which, that's what yeah. So then you go Bachelor in Paradise.
Which was my personal hell. And
really?
Yeah, dude.
It's paradise,
they,
man.
They didn't have air conditioning. They were air conditioning.
Do you think there was a purposeful like play to like get everybody agitated?
Man, I don't know. I just
rile them up
between
a bit.
That,
rile up the troops.
That and we had so many rain delays that we were staying up till 3 or 4 in the morning and then not sleeping well. It wasn't for me. I'll just leave it at that.
Got it. It
wasn't for me. And then it became apparent that like, you know, they were interested still in for Bachelor, and sure enough, that happened.
Yeah. So I love that, like, everything you're saying is like that happened, but like there's all these casual steps where they're like climbing you up this mountain
yeah.
to now you're going to be the Bachelor. How the hell did that come about? Like, what'd they tell you? What was that process?
I didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, they offered Paradise, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, whatever. I'll do Paradise
yeah.
and then I'm done with TV.
Whatever. Yeah. Spin off.
And then,
all good. Let's do it.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll do the Paradise thing. We'll go. I did it. And like, didn't really go great for me. So I got home and I was like, dude, there's no way in hell I'm even going to do another show with them. Like,
yeah, I'm done.
Didn't go well for me. I didn't end this. And then all of a sudden, like, I think people sort of saw what happened and how like it all was playing out, and in a weird way sort of had my back. It was so messed up. Like I don't know if you watched it or not, but anyway, like I stepped out on the beach and like people sort of attacked, like were just like
yeah.
weird about it. They're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you need to know. I'm like, isn't this a point of us being here? Is like just to like sort of figure all this out.
Right.
So that part was like a little confusing to me. But yeah, like I get a call and they're just like, hey, we're going to have you in for meetings. And I did the meeting and I still even remember being like, yeah, I don't think it's really going to be me. And it ended up being me.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
So then what was your thought process when it's you? Are you like, are you jacked or now are you like weary or like what's that?
I'm excited because like I didn't really ever date. Like
right.
I don't just go out with girls casually or like go to a bar and hit on somebody or do like that's not me.
Right.
And I've never been on an app before either. So I just skipped apps and went straight to a dating TV show.
Which is kind of like an app on steroids,
yes,
sir.
Yes, like times a thousand.
Like, hey, humble brag, I've never been on a dating app on a good guy.
Yeah.
But, oh, I went on a national TV show
yeah.
that's just had dozens of women throwing themselves at me.
Yeah.
Way
yeah.
better than the app.
Yeah.
Trade you.
It was good.
That's so cool.
It worked.
Yeah, heck yeah. And here you are now. So where were you actually at, though? Like, were you living in L.A. at the time when you found out that you were going to be The Bachelor? Were you back home?
No.
Like, where were you? What was
you know
your life like?
So you know what's funny is I remember Jason, me, and Blake were all in a group text, and because I was the three guys who are
right.
potentially going to be Bachelor. And we were like, oh, it's you. Like, we're like, all right, well, just let's let somebody know. It was coming up on the day that we were going to find out. Let's let someone know. I was playing pickup basketball in Colorado.
Nice.
And I was wearing my Fitbit. And I see the executive producer calling me. And I was like, I don't want this to ruin my game. So I'm not going to answer it. Because if he told me no, like, I would get in my head and probably not play well. So I was like, I'm just going to ignore it. And then he called again. So I was like, that's sort of weird.
Yeah,
like, why
odd.
He wouldn't follow up with another call. And it turned out he needed to talk to me before he obviously called the other two to let them know after he heard me commit.
Yeah, right.
So, and it was nuts. I literally went from playing a game of basketball, going home, packing, and literally 4 hours later on a flight to New York for Good Morning America.
It was like that.
They didn't, like, you don't get prep time. So, like, I found out literally 7 hours before America did.
What?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm naive. That is not what I expected to hear at all. I expected, like, month ramp up, like, let's steal his cell phone, like, you know what I mean? Lock it down.
I had my cell phone for another three or four weeks as we prepped for it, but for the announcement, they didn't want it spoiled. They didn't want it out there. So they didn't want me telling my mom and then my mom telling, like, Aunt Linda, and Aunt Linda running her mouth to Susie. And,
yeah,
you know,
I get it. Just,
I don't have an Aunt Linda or a Susie, so.
But just extract. Let's extract this guy immediately.
Right, right.
Jeez, I hope you got the shower after hoops. Sounds like they just rushed you right out there.
Yeah.
You had done, like, obviously you were on The Bachelor, right? And, like, you're notable. So, obviously, like, you had done press and podcasts and stuff like that. But then, like, when, after this announcement, like you said, now you're doing Good Morning America. You're doing Jimmy Kimmel. You're doing Ellen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The big dogs.
Yeah.
How, nervousness there? How was that? Like, any pinch me moments and from one of those circuits?
Oh, Ellen for sure. Ellen, like, and I've been on Ellen a few times. I love her.
She seems amazing.
I used to get ragged on in college because while everybody was partying, man, I was upstairs. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this, but go to Ellen's YouTube. You're not going to just watch one video. You get in that
rabbit
wormhole
hole.
For that whole, like, you're there for hours. And that was me every Saturday, Sunday night. I was just watching Ellen videos.
That's when you know you have a good show, when, like, a 20-something-year-old dude that probably shouldn't hit your demo is, like, in the rabbit hole.
Oh,
I go down the rabbit hole, too, and I was playing that, she had that game, Heads Up or whatever, that app game or whatever.
Yeah.
I was playing that.
Yep.
My ma is, like, an avid Ellen person, and bless her heart, not to rag on her, they don't do, like, DVR or anything. Like, they don't know how to record.
Yeah.
So, like, she watches Ellen every day. So if I try to, like, buzz her or call her or come over during Ellen time, it's literally like, shh,
yeah.
No, babe, no.
So, to answer your question, anything that has to do with Ellen is always a pinch me moment. Like, I just did it a week and a half ago. I married Howard Stern on Ellen. Like, the most random things, some of the best stories in media that I've ever done has been thanks to Ellen.
Ellen's, man, she seems so darn cool.
She's great.
I want to go on Ellen. Shout out Ellen. Yeah, I was watching some of your interviews. I watched a bunch of the Jimmy Kimmel stuff and some of that stuff.
Oh, he's a good guy, too.
He seems, like, pretty funny. And then, you know.
But all of a sudden, you know, you go from I go from a practice squad NFL try-hard player to now in the national spotlight trying to figure this all out while I'm trying to figure myself out. And really, like, I think I'm now comfortable to a point where, like, I could self-admit I say things I shouldn't say.
Sure.
I've messed up. I've never done anything so bad that's, like, unforgivable. But, yes, I'm a 27-year-old. I forgot how old I was for a second. Damn, I'm 27 already. I'm a 27-year-old dude still, like, growing into himself. Like, it's okay if I can show myself some grace
in a
while.
That's the process for every human in the world. We just don't do it under a spotlight
right.
like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And especially boys, not to play that card, like, we're ding-dongs. We take way longer to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
My dad used to always say, like, I'll throw him back in the oven. He's not done yet. He's got to cook a little longer. You know what I mean? But if I was on national TV, I'd have said silly things all the time.
Yep.
Luckily, I was just a hillbilly on the south side.
That actually, it's interesting you brought that up because, like, that was sort of my kryptonite and what I struggled with in the beginning for Bachelorette is I was actually, I'm sorry, I got a canker sore.
It's all good. It's
I
all
just
good.
I was actually so media trained that Bachelor producers, like, they just wanted to shake me and be like, dude, can
loosen
you just
up.
Be yourself?
Yeah, be
like,
your,
loosen
be
up. Because I was so guarded. I was so, every time I had to deal with media in the past, it was like, how are we going to trick him into telling us what they're going to do or for their game plan?
Yeah,
so
right.
I get in front of the camera and I'm like, all right, how are they going to manipulate this? How are they going to try to, like, trick me right now? So, like, I wasn't doing anybody any favors, including myself.
Yeah, because you're just shut down. You're
right.
So protective
of
the secrets and everything.
I'm still somewhat that way where I'm a little paranoid freak. I'll self-admit that. But there's one thing that I've done my whole entire life, and that's always protect myself. So absolutely. I know how to do that. But yeah, that was sort of the interesting part is like with the cameras, I struggled with it early on.
Dude, I couldn't imagine being like an actual, like one of these child actors or somebody or musicians or a Bieber or somebody that gets on when you're like 12.
They end up
like
being
you
messed
got on
up.
When you were like ballpark, I don't know, 24 or whatever the heck, whatever the math is. You know what I mean? So you're kind of like at least a grown up. What if you were 12? You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe.
Talk about trust issues too. Like, even that, every once in a while, it gets to you.
Yeah, I would have to imagine so.
Yeah.
And if you grow up in it, you like everyone's got their hand in your pocket. Everyone's trying to trick you. Like, how do you handle
Everybody's
that?
Your best friend.
Everyone's your buddy.
Yep.
That's got to be interesting, too. Like, when you reach a certain level of notoriety in any field, like, obviously, anyone who meets you now wants to be like, oh, like, I'm going to be doing it immediately. Like, I'll follow you
and
on the gram.
Cool.
I'll creep out. But, oh, yeah, Colton's my guy. Like, ah, you met him once, dog. Stop playing him as your buddy.
Yeah, but, like, even it was cool sort of reuniting, even, like, with the football guys. I mean, I remember, you know, and I was never, like, the best of friends. Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, like they hit me up, which they've been great. And I did Bible studies with Derek Carr, and awesome human being. Same with Mack. Like, we were never the closest, but they hit me up and like, hey, good luck. Like, this is awesome.
Nice.
So cool. Proud of you. Like, because they understand what it takes at that level. And then also they understand the struggle because they've probably seen friends and have friends that, you know, have gotten out of it and gotten lost or gotten into something they shouldn't.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I think it's really important to really just make sure that, you know, the players that are coming out of the league too sort of have, you know, a safe space to go for a year to really try to figure out what they're going to do next.
Did people forget about the transition from professional athlete to civilian life? So my last 12, 13 years of my life were spent in the front office of a major league sports team. And it's the same thing. Like, my buds who would get out of the league, they're like, dude, my travel, my schedule, my work, my regimen was down to a science so hard that now I'm just retired. But turns out I'm 32. And now it's like, what do I do with myself? And a lot of guys struggle with that. You know what I mean? So I think it's important to have some kind of like transitionary program like back into civilian life. You know?
And it's hard because like you go, like you said, you go from, you have people telling you where to be.
Yeah. It's scheduled.
Scheduled.
You know?
And now I'm like, I wake up, be like, yeah, I work out at like 10 or 11 a.m. now, and I'll do a podcast at 2:30 or 3:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
Maybe I'll book something on this day. So like, your self-worth, and that's why I said the foundation's been so great for me, because it's always been the most consistent thing in my life now.
Yeah.
It's always been, hey, I have this, and this to do for the nonprofit.
I think that's so cool.
That's been cool.
Yeah, having that to be like your main source, like that's your inside out, for lack of a better way of saying it, like that's a cool way to do it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys, just like we said at the beginning, go the other way. Like, nah, I'm just going to do what I want.
Yeah, right.
But do you find it difficult, even though you have the structure of the foundation, to like, not get to the gym, but like find structure in your day that you don't have that structure now?
I try to put it in there, and Cass is in the same, Cassie, my girlfriend, she's doing the same thing with me too, is like we have a calendar app and we try to really schedule everything out.
Yeah.
And sometimes we sort of get mad at ourselves for scheduling and planning everything, but like that's, I just know me, in order for me to be successful, I need to have
gyms at 2.
My agent, my manager, be like, they'll call me and be like, hey, can you do this? I'm like, yeah, throw it in my calendar.
Right.
Like, I need it all in one place. I need to see where I need to be. Like, I'm used to a regimen. I'm used to a calendar, a schedule. Like, I need to get on something consistent.
That makes sense. I have a little bit of regimen anxiety, full disclosure. Like, there's times where I'm like, oh, I'll throw it on my schedule, and then the event comes, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Why did I say yes to that? 2 weeks out? I can't do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny now that we're doing the podcast thing more and more, and especially coming to LA, like, every minute of when I'm in LA is, like, scheduled out for me, which is, I know it's just a microcosm of the life you've been living, but it's just like, oh, man, it's eye-opening a bit to be like, oh, I guess I can squeeze in lunch during that 25 minutes, and then on to the next, and boom, 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 boom.
So,
you know, I compliment you for that. So what's on the docket now? Like, you've rid this ramp. We did the football thing. We did the guest on the Bachelor thing. We did the Bachelor thing. Now what? You're a young man. Like, what do you want to do? What's not next on the horizon?
I mean, like I said, I'm down to try anything once. And whether that's hosting, whether that's acting, whether that's, you know, scripted, unscripted, whatever we're doing, I love the TV stuff. I really do. I love having a platform. I think the next thing that I do isn't going to be solely focused on me, or my relationship. So I think that's important to say. But I'm down for whatever. I definitely think, you know, having my own show would be super, super cool. Whether that means I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring that part out. But I like this area of work.
Sure, staying in the entertainment field a bit.
I think it's cool to call it work. I mean, the fact that you can monetize being you and sharing your message and talking to people and relating with people and trying to have a platform for something good, I think is really cool. And I'm very, very, you know, fortunate to be able to say that I can consider that work.
Yeah, that's the coolest part. Like, you are your own brand
right now.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm lucky enough to be a part of, like, a brand that I believe in, and it's amazing and the whole thing. And if you're lucky enough to even get, like, a gig like that, like, oh, you're crushing it. Most people in the world, as you know, just, like, go to work.
Yep.
And it might be soul crushing. It might be nothing they want to do at all. And then if they do get a piece of it, it's not, like, it's not them. It's not their brand. You know what I mean? So the fact that you get to live it out is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Do you think, I know you said you don't know. What do you think, like, the format would be, though? Are you seeing, like, a talk show or, like, a reality show? Or, like, what's the brainstorming looking like?
Man, I don't know. I have so many different things that I like, whether it's, I love home improvement. Mm-hmm. My dad grew up as a developer, and he built homes literally for the first half of his life. And I always helped him out. So I love that space. I love trying to help people. I mean, I don't have my own life together, but I love trying to, like, be there for somebody or, like, talk through a problem with somebody.
Those who can't do teach, as they say, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm in shambles, but I can help you.
Right.
Got it.
Adventures. I mean, anything. I don't really know.
You're open. I'm down to try anything once, as you said.
I'm open for it.
Got it. Let's do a cameo reality TV show.
There we go.
We'll figure it out. You and I will tour the country, and we'll pass out vests, and we'll loop in cameo somehow and do whatever.
Let's do it.
Let's say this then, and I know there's, like, you're in a really good spot, but let's say we hit the big one, and we're like billionaires tomorrow.
Yep.
Are you going to the farm? Are you going to the penthouse, hypothetically? Like, where are you going? Where do you want to be?
Oh, man, if I hit it big, I would just buy a ton of land somewhere super remote.
Same.
Build my dream house.
Same.
Have some animals, probably, to supply me with some food. And I'll be good. And I'll just have my dog and my girl, and we'll be good.
Dude, give me a little bonfire.
Yeah.
Maybe a little lifted 72 Ford.
Right.
And we're good to go.
Right.
Yeah, I always say, at the end of the day, no matter what, like, we're all striving, myself included, for, like, you know, greatness. And you want to make something of yourself, and you want to be better, and you want to help others. But you're always on this mission of, like, go, 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 go.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what you really end up doing when you're happy, even if you make it, whatever that means, you're probably sitting with your buds or your chick.
Yep.
Maybe having a beer or a coffee, or, you know, you're ultimately at the hypothetical or proverbial bonfire at the end of the night anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you might as well enjoy the ride while you're on it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, just hanging out with friends. I think that would definitely be something I don't know where I would do it. Maybe out here. Maybe find some remote land out in California, if that's even possible.
I don't know if it's possible. The hills scare me.
Yeah.
I'm height adverse, and seeing these homes built on, like, stilts.
Yep.
I'm like, it seems like it's a sneeze away from being a very bad situation.
You know what I've been looking into out here is I want to build a container home.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Do, like, two or three containers, put them together, and then build a home.
There's your show right there.
I know. I was thinking about that, too.
Well, what's up? Let's go. You could build it. You said you're good with your hands.
I am. No,
so let's get the container. Cool. Tiny Home Nation.
Yeah.
Featuring Colton Underwood.
Become a minimalist. I like it.
I would do that in a heart. Well, like I said, at the end of the day, you're just going to be sitting around with your chick anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if it's in a penthouse or in a container home.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's fantastic. So do you consume television? Like, you're a television personality, but, like, do you watch television? What are you watching right now,
I haven't had time to really watch a lot of television. Right now, what Cass and I are watching together, I just got her, take this easy on her, I just got her into Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
So for the, she's 24, sorry, Cass. She's 24, and she just started reading Harry Potter. So as she completes a book, we then go to the movie.
Oh, nice.
And then she's, like, the first one to point out the differences in the book and the movie. But that's what we're watching right now, is Harry Potter.
I'm not going to rag on the delay to Harry Potter, albeit she's about 15 years late, because I binged Game of Thrones, like, last year for the first time ever. Like,
okay,
this is where
we're going to have problems, because guess what? I've never watched Game of Thrones.
That's fine, because if you and I would have met 1 year ago, I would have been saying the same thing.
Really?
And so it's all good.
Okay.
And then I tried to watch it two or three times, and it just wasn't sticking.
I've watched 20 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, it's tough. It doesn't stick right away.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, after a while, it gets the hooks in.
Okay.
So we'll do Game of Thrones after Harry Potter.
Right.
I never read the books, though, so you'll have to read the books.
Okay.
So good. Well, listen, I'm jacked to meet you, man. I think it's wonderful. I think what you're doing with the CF, with the cystic fibrosis, and going in person is so admirable. Because like you said, you could have just gave the money and who knows what black hole that's going to go into. So the fact that you're using that as the centerpiece of how you're structuring your life, I think is an extremely admirable thing. So thank you.
Appreciate it.
For doing that on behalf of humanity. And I hope it works out for you, and I hope you get the biggest show in the world about tiny houses or whatever you want to do. But no, for real, I can't thank you enough
for thank you.
Being here and hanging out. To anybody who's listening, obviously you can get Colton on Cameo, cameo.com/Colton Underwood. Pretty quick response time from the kid. He gives out some pretty good cameos, I'd say. Yeah. We were just watching a reaction video from an 89-year-old woman named Babe, perhaps, or Babe
shout out
or something.
Shout out to Babe.
Shout out Babe, who we thought was some,
I thought
maybe
it was
a woman just trying to get you to say Babe.
To call me Babe, or to call her Babe.
But it's an 89-year-old woman named Babe who was just geeking out from the cameo.
She's a sweetheart.
That's awesome.
But no, thank you guys so much for having the platform to do that, because I can't tell you how many like cool responses I get from connecting with fans. And I'm not able to. Here's the thing is I would be so overwhelmed if I didn't have an app like that, because I can't tell you how many messages you get like, hey, can you say hi here? Can you say happy birthday here? And it's like it almost gets to a point where it's so overwhelming that you just set your phone down. You're like, never mind. But connecting with people on Cameo is so easy and so cool. And I think that it really gives everybody a unique once-in-a-lifetime experience within 30 seconds to a minute, or sometimes Cass and I think we did a 2 minute and 30 and 30 second video. So
that's our favorite part. Like, people think of it a lot from just like the celebrity side, like, oh, shout out, but you forget that like Joe Q Public usually doesn't get to have Colton Underwood say their name or say something about them or whatever, and it's a really cool thing.
Yeah,
so we're pumped. We're honored to have you on the platform.
I'm cool. It's
and
cool.
We're honored that you came today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Colton Underwood.